You know, that's one of my favorite songs at Christmas time, as it always poses the question, Mary, did you know? And I want to tell you that my opinion is that no. That she didn't understand, nor did she comprehend, that the sleeping child that she was holding was the great I Am, the creator of the world. And here we are, Christmas Eve, sitting in a pew, coming to church, and we expect to hear the Christmas story, which you will, and you're going to expect to talk about baby Jesus, which we will. And it tends to, if we're not careful, be the same old story. But this is what overwhelms me, is that I am now 62 years old, right? And so of all the Christmases that I've had, all the times that I've studied the Word of God my whole life, and coming to this truth, I still don't understand, nor can I comprehend, that God took on flesh. John chapter 1, verse 14 said, and he became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. I think the glory, like, just of his pinky nail, right? Because if he revealed his glory, none of us would have been able to bear it. So Mary, did you know? I don't think she could comprehend. I don't think we can fully comprehend. But I want us to try. I don't want us just to sit here this morning and go, oh yeah, baby Jesus, yeah, he came to save us. I'm so thankful. Okay, let's go home, right? And I don't expect all of a sudden some light bulb to come up and you go, oh my word, I never, you know, realized the immensity of it. Because I don't think we can grasp the immensity of it. So, in Luke chapter 1, verse 28 through 35, it says, and the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that this might be, which I think all of us would be the same way. If an angel appeared to us, I would have said, can you repeat what you're saying? Like, I'm just getting over the fact that an angel just appeared to me. She was troubled at the words. She wondered what this greeting might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And the 16-year-old girl, rightly so, goes, well, wait, let's back up. I'm going to give birth? Like, totally not like understanding the whole, like, this is God coming in the flesh in you to rule and reign forever, saving the people from their sins, right? She's like, but how can that be? And we're going to cover that stuff tonight. So invite you back tonight. I think it's 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock service tonight. We'll light the candles. We'll have a nice, warm, whooshy time together. It'll be great. And we'll look at the second part. But this morning, I really want to zero in on Jesus. Jesus was his Greek name. Jesus means Savior. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Matthew chapter 21 says, for he will save his people from their sins. So this is the name of Jesus. Jesus, who's going to do a lot of miracles. Jesus, who's going to be crucified on the cross, pay for our sins, rise from the dead. As a matter of fact, Philippians 2, verses 8 through 12 say this, and being found in human form, Jesus, right? Bringing on flesh, God in the flesh. I mean, even when you just say that, God in the flesh, it just sounds like a sci-fi movie, doesn't it? Right? You know, like the some god somewhere decides to take on flesh. Where do you think they get these ideas from, right? I think a lot of these ideas are from the truth. That God took on flesh. And it says, in being found in human form, Jesus humbled himself, coming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, because God took on flesh, became a human by the name of Jesus, a Savior. Therefore, God now has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Bigger than Elon Musk, bigger than any political person, right? Past, present, future. It is the name above every other name. No other name, no other life, no one compares, no one's equal. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And there have been a lot of rulers and popes who have tried to get people to come and bow down and kiss a ring or all these other things in order to exalt their name. But it is at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Man, that's Jesus. This is the Jesus that was born in the manger. This was God in the flesh. If you read through the book of Colossians, you see where Jesus was at the beginning, right? Let us make man in our image. The triune God already existed as God the Father looked down and the Son created and the Spirit hovered among the surface of the water. And we see the involvement all throughout as you have what they call Christophanies throughout the Old Testament where Christ himself reveals himself and comes and speaks. And now he's born of a baby in a manger. And I know, you know, we don't want to make a go back over maybe just the irony that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was born as you know, in a manger and totally unexpected. His whole life was unexpected. His death was unexpected, even by those who followed him. And certainly his resurrection was unexpected. And so this is the name of Jesus, and he will reign over the whole earth. His kingdom will never, ever end. So, Gracie, I have, in case you don't know, I have 5 girls. 4 of them are married. My last one is betraying me on June 2nd. She's going to be married on June 2nd. And so this is her last Christmas with us. And so Gracie is with us. And enjoyed last night. She had some of her girlfriends over, Bree and Hattie and Chloe. And they just giggled. They have this kind of tradition of watching Barbie the Nutcracker. Okay? Anyone seen it? Exactly. So... So they watch this. Oh, I bet, you know, I bet there's a couple like 5, 6, 7-year-old girls that would love that. It's a good movie. And so they get together, and it was just great having Gracie with us. As a matter of fact, we have Life 360, which tracks her, and we tracked her the moment she left her house in Manhattan, and we tracked her through Frankfurt, and we tracked her when she got on 36, and we tracked her as she was passing Baileyville and then going through Seneca, and we're like, Gracie's going to be with us. Gracie's going to be with us. Gracie's going to be with us. And then she pulled in, and we opened up the garage door. We have her favorite ice cream. We have her favorite soda, right? We have everything lined up. We have dinner ready for her, right? And it's just like, yes, Gracie is with us. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. It's like 700 years before this happened. The prophecy of the birth of Christ. And bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Matthew 1:21, and even Pastor Trey reminded us, God with us. I mean, I get excited because Gracie's with us. And now it talks about God being with us. And the thing I love most about it is we don't quite grasp what names are today. Like, some of us name our kids names that reflect them, like Grace, right? My Grace, the grace of God that he gave us in granting us a fifth girl, right? And some of you are named because your parents didn't like you, right? And so they picked a name that nobody could spell or pronounce and got wrong all through your elementary school, right? And some are because of families. But you have to realize, back then, these names were like the actual word. Like, for example, Isaac, right? Abraham, Isaac. When the angel came and said, Sarah, you're going to have a kid at 90 years old, she laughed, right? And so what did they name their child? We say Isaac, but the actual word is laughter. They named their kid Laughter. Laughter, time for dinner. Laughter, stop that. Laughter, you need to get dressed. I mean, they would actually use the word laughter, right? And so my name means manly, in case you didn't know. But I don't want, yeah, I might have made it up. You can look up the etymology. But you don't go around going, excuse me, Pastor Manly, right? That would be weird. Don't do it. I know some of you are going to do it, but, right, just don't do that. Hey, Manly, come over here. Hey, man, right, you call me Charlie or Charles. You don't call me Manly. But could you imagine when Jesus, right, Jesus, whose name means Savior. Let me give you another example before we get there. Peter, right? Peter's name is Rock. His name was Simon. And so Jesus says, Simon, I'm going to give you a nickname. I'm going to call you Rock, right? The Rock Johnson, right? Rock. I'm going to call you Rock. And so that's why, like in Matthew 16, it's very interesting, where Jesus says, you're right, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you are the Rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, if he meant Peter, like some people hold to, he didn't mean Peter, because he would have said, you are Rock, and upon you, referring to rock, I will build the church. But he says, but upon this rock, meaning this, the statement that he made, that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. But the whole point is, he's calling him Rock. Like we say Peter, like it's a name, but he's calling it Rock. Are you getting this? Am I pushing my point too long? So when Jesus is walking around, they're not just going, hey, Jesus. They're saying, excuse me, Savior? Savior? Who's that? That's God with us. That's God with us, right? Now we would hear, that's Jesus, that's Emmanuel. But they were, these weren't just names, these were the titles, these were the names he was given, this is the Savior. This is God with us. Can I tell you something? That his name hasn't changed. He is still Savior. He is still God with us. He is still God with us. He is God with you. If your faith and trust is in Christ, he is God with you. Why is this so important to grasp, to remember this at Christmas? Because I get disappointed in God. I can't tell you how many times I have sat by the bedside of someone dying. And I've either prayed and prayed and prayed that God would save her, that God would heal her. I remember getting a rock out of the Delaware River where George Washington crossed the Delaware. Right? And I got this rock and I committed it to the Lord. I said, God, as this rock is, I want to be a Peter. I want to be a rock for you. I'm going to daily commit it. And when Sarah Popkus got sick, I wrote an S on that rock. And I held that rock up to my forehead every day and prayed that God would heal her. So much that if you look at the bottom of the rock, it's oily from my forehead. And God did not heal her. Is God with us? Right? And I could go through time after time. I've spent time praying that God would take someone that's suffering in their bed and their my own mother. I remember, you know, those last few days are hard. Sometimes the last few weeks. I was just like, God, could you just spare? Could you just take her home? Nope. No. Does anybody else struggle with this? Like we say, God is with us. Is God really with us? I mean, I pray and I'm earnest and I get nothing. I mean, sometimes I get so excited and I feel the presence of God. Like I listen to that, Mary, did you know? And I'm just like, man, why does, you know, I know some of you don't get moved by music and music videos, but I do. I do. And so we're showing another one tonight, a different one. And I sometimes I just feel so close to God. And other times, nothing. No feeling, no experience. I can read the Bible. I can pray. Sometimes I feel like God's listening. Sometimes I feel like he's not. And then we come to church, and, you know, we're supposed to get all, you know, hyped up, you know, and here God is with us. But I know that a lot of times in our life, we don't feel like God's with us. And then the problem is then we kind of just ignore him that God is with us. If he is with us, he can tag along, right? But we don't even have a consciousness. You know, there's sometimes I get up in the morning and I do my routine and I'm halfway here before I even say good morning to the Lord. And maybe some of you haven't even spoken to him today. Maybe it's been a little while. I remember being so disoriented with God's presence in my life that I stopped speaking to him for 6 months while I was a youth pastor. That's tricky. 6 months. Has anyone else boycotted talking to God on purpose for 6 months? Right? Why? Because sometimes we're just not convinced he's really with us. And if he's really with us, does he really care? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all of our care upon him, for he cares for you. So listen, here's the point. Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Get this, listen to this. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. You can have good works, you can have all this other stuff, all this performance, all this niceties, and not please God. What pleases God is faith. So whether I feel like it or not, I believe God is with us. Whether I get warm and fuzzies when I watch a video or sing a song or not, I believe that God is with us. Whether I perform a cello, right? That was wonderful, right? With the piano. I mean, and you could, and maybe that moved you and you just sensed the presence, or maybe you didn't. It does. It's faith. It's faith that we believe. And it says, by God's grace, through faith, that we are saved. God's grace saves us. But you have had to place your faith in God, that God has saved you. Jesus, he's the Savior. He came to save you. You have to believe that he is with you, not because of the evidence, not because you've seen God answer prayer, or you've seen God move, or maybe God healed you, maybe he rescued you, or maybe he didn't. That's not the point. None of that's by faith. Faith is believing in something you can't see. Faith is believing in God even despite, right? Paul believed and had faith in God all the way to the point where his head got chopped off. I mean, all the disciples suffered and died, and yet they had faith. See, faith isn't dependent on my circumstances. Isn't that good? Because if we didn't have faith, most of us would have chucked out our Christian life by now, our relationship with Christ. And maybe you have. Maybe you're sitting here or listening and you have. You've just kind of parked it somewhere. You've made this statement. Christianity just doesn't work. See, that's a faithless statement. That's a statement that's based on, if I do this, then God will do that. If I pray, then he will answer. If I'm good and behave, then he'll make this thing work out. I remember hearing a little boy whose father left his mother for another woman. And he would pray earnestly night after night, bring my daddy home. Bring my daddy home. Broke my heart. And his daddy never came home. And he never has placed his faith in Christ. Because his faith is based on, God didn't hear me. Maybe your life is like that, where you have based your faith, it's not really faith, but on like a give and take. That God, I'm going to do this, and then you're going to reward me. Or God, I'll behave, and you'll bless us. And yet, it hasn't happened. And so what I would ask you today is search out faith. Search out faith. Make sure that you have faith in God. Make sure you have faith in Christ as your Savior. That he died and he rose again. Can I prove that? No. Can I prove that the Bible's the Word of God? No. Not if you don't want it. I can't prove any of this stuff. It's all by faith. I think it's intelligible faith. I think there's evidence that demands a verdict. I think it's overwhelming and we can have a solid faith. But the bottom line is you've got to have the faith. You've got to exercise the faith for you to have a relationship with God. And the rest of life will battle that faith every moment of every day. And my prayer is that this Christmas we renew our faith. As a matter of fact, would you just bow your head and close your eyes right now? This may be a great time to renew, or maybe for the first time to say, God, I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it, just like Mary, but I have faith. I want to place my faith in you, that you are God, that you have saved me, that you have forgiven my sins. And then even in life, if you have that faith in Christ, as life may have hit you and seemingly God disappointed you, to say, but I will still trust. Yet I will still believe. Despite that, I still have faith. God, may that be the cry of our heart as we celebrate you coming down and taking on flesh, God with us. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.